you will only trust me. The Lord says that to us. The Lord tells us we need to just believe in him and trust in him. He's shown himself to be faithful over and over again. If you will only trust him. You know, I can't help but mention as I'm standing here that I have been talking to the Lord and asking him to help us to have an usher board that was full and an usher board that stood strong. And right now, if you look back at the doors, you'll see that not only are all the doors covered, but the backup ushers are on the side. Stand up, ushers, would you, those who are not standing up? I thank God for you. You're an answer to my prayer. God's been answering prayers, doing things, changing things in our lives. Why wouldn't we just trust him? Earlier you heard from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th, beginning with the 28th verse. I'm going to read just that 28th verse. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I had another title, but choir, I believe that I'm going to just call this Trust Me. Amen. Trust Me. I could have said Trust God and watch him move. I could have said based on his word and his promise, be not anxious at all. Let go and watch God move. You know, here in this scripture, we find that God is telling us through Paul that we know that all things, and we know, not we think or we've heard, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We don't stop long to think about how powerful that is. All things work together. All things, no matter what it is, the good things, the bad things, somehow they work together to help us to become closer to God and to reach some goals that God has for us. There are some purposes that we have that God has for us. You know, during the last weekend and now even later today, we had the time to pause and think about Dr. King and his vision. And somehow it was more than just a vision. He referred to it as a dream, but I believe it was a prophecy. Yeah. You know, the things that he said, the way that we were going to be able to live together without being divided and look at each other, not because by our color or even the where we stood financially. None of those things were what we were going to look at. We were going to look at each other in a different way. And somehow looking at each other means more than just looking at each other. It's showing love to one another and sharing with one another the things that God has blessed us with. A dream. But you know, by the end of the last week, Monday was the birthday and the holiday, but by the end of the week, we were at the time when the president was being sworn in, and somehow it seemed that that week changed from praise and to anxiety. And not because of anything that the new president has done, but because of the negative rhetoric that he has continued to give out. Somehow it seems like the things that he said has made us uncomfortable about where we are. And we start thinking, has our American dream changed to something else? Can we continue to dream? Can we continue to believe that everything's going to be all that it ought to be? Can we continue to feel that we ought to be sharing love with one another? Or aren't we now going to be standing against each other and working against each other and not accomplishing some of the things that we felt that we as a nation should feel? Welcome in those from outside who want to become a part of this great and loving nation. Are we changing? We don't know all that he's going to do because it seems that somehow he's not real sure himself. Some of the things that he said during the inauguration, before the inauguration, have become different after he got up and talked at the inauguration and, we're not sure all that he's going to do. So I suppose what I'm saying is we don't need to be anxious about him. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be anxious about the what might be happening with Congress. This is not a political speech. I'm just telling you. We don't need to be concerned about what he might plan to do or what he might try to do or what Congress might change or the things that we might have to be concerned about. We don't need to put our hopes in him doing the right thing. We don't have to put our hopes in him making the positive moves that we would hope that a president who has that early period, that honeymoon period, if you will, to accomplish. No, we need to continue to trust in God.
Amen.
And recognize, listen to me now, it doesn't matter who won the election. All things are going to work together for the good. Everything. All things are going to work together for the good. It doesn't seem that we should be concerned if we realize that God has said that to us. God wants to make it clear. Don't be anxious about anything. Trust in me to let you know that whatever you're going through, no matter how bad it might seem, no matter where you might feel you are right now, no matter how big that problem might have been, financial problem, sickness, whatever it is. We're talking about just trusting God. We're talking about recognizing no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we need to just trust God. No matter what it is we find ourselves going through, we have to recognize God is able to bring us through. And he's promised that he will. He's let us know that all we need to do is to trust in him. And all those things, good things, bad things, they'll all come to a point where they're accomplishing what God would have to happen. You're a part of his promise to those who are around you. The things that he will have you do, the way that you will touch somebody who needs a touch, the way that you will help somebody through a situation that they're going through. All those things, God will use you. God will use me to help somebody through a situation that they're going through. But even if I'm the one that reaches out with the touch, it's God who did it. Maybe he touched my heart, made me realize there was something I needed to do. Somebody I needed to reach out and talk to. Somebody I needed to throw my arms around because they needed some comfort. God can use us. Everything that we find ourselves going through, wherever we are, God can make something very, very positive out of it. I'm reminded of in the very last chapter of Genesis, where we find there was a problem. There was a problem with a young man who we come to know as somebody special was going through some things. He was thrown into prison, went through an awful lot because his brothers were jealous of him because of a dream that he had. But even though his brothers were jealous, that was only the beginning of something special that God was going to do. You see, there was something that had to occur. Somebody had to make some things happen. And the only way that it could happen, God had to use somebody to do it. And somehow I suppose that at the time when Joseph was thrown into the dungeon by his brothers because they hated him, literally they hated him. They threw him in there, and then they had said, now he's a dreamer. You see, he was talking about things that were going to happen in the future. And somehow the things he was talking about was making him higher than they were. And they had a problem with that. And if that wasn't enough, his father had given him a coat, a beautiful coat of many colors, beautiful coat. So Joseph his brothers didn't love him because of some of the things that had happened. They not only threw him into the pit, but when they decided that they weren't going to kill him, because one of the brothers had said, let us kill him. And then see what happens to his dream. But another brother said, no, we can't do that. So they took him out of the dungeon and out of the pit and they sold him into slavery. And that was just the beginning, because somehow it seems as we look at all the things that he went through, somehow we have to look at this scripture and know that somehow he must have known this and felt this, because it says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. God had a purpose for Joseph. And somehow it seemed that all that he went through, not only be just witnessing the hate of his brother, just think how painful that was. But then for them to sell him into slavery, and for them to watch as he was carried off by the caravan, and then he was sold, and somehow the one who he was sold to in Egypt, it seemed that things went wrong in the household there, and the wife of the one who was sold to told a lie on him, and he ended up in prison, thrown in a dungeon by brothers who he thought loved him. He was out to see about them. His father said, go see about those boys and see how they are. And that's when they took him and threw him into the pit. But all things work together. All things. Joseph may have had a little problem trying to see how all things are going to work together. But you know, he trusted in the Lord. He continued to pray. He trusted in the Lord. He hadn't heard this scripture. Paul hadn't written it yet. But he knew somehow that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Thrown into prison. And after that, it seemed that things just didn't get much better. He was there for a long, long time. But God had a purpose for him to go through that. And somehow it was recognized that not only had he had a dream that he could tell people about, but there was somebody else who had a dream that they could not figure out. And so in prison, he had helped somebody recognize a dream. And that person told the ruler, well, I know somebody who can interpret the dreams. By the time that he got to him and told him what the dream was, he came to realize that there was something important that needed to be done. Something had to happen. Because, you see, there was going to be a great drought.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there wouldn't be any way to grow food.
Uh-huh.
No, there wouldn't be any crops for a long time. That's what the dream was saying. And when Joseph made the ruler aware of that, they started taking care of making sure that everything was going to be all right. They started putting food away to store. They had a lot of food at the time. We're talking about a few years off, 7 years. Somehow he let the ruler know, and they started putting together the food. When the drought came, nobody else had food except those who were in Egypt, where Joseph had interpreted the dream. He was put into a high position. He was a leader even in Egypt. And when his brothers who were in an area where there was no food came to get food because they heard there was some over in Egypt. They didn't recognize who he was. And I won't go through the whole story, but in that 50th chapter of Genesis, we find that he said, well, Satan, he really said, not, and depending on which version you read, he said, you meant it for evil.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That was just the beginning when you threw me in the pit.
Yeah.
That was just the beginning of what God was going to do with me.
Right.
That was just the beginning. God was going to do something special.
Yes,
you meant it for evil. But God meant it for the good. To save many people from dying from hunger.
Yes, sir.
God meant it for good.
Yeah.
Somehow we need to realize when we're in a situation that looks like it's not going the way we would want it to go. We just need to wait and allow God to move as God is going to move. If we've got a problem, no matter what that problem is, we can look at that problem as being a problem that's putting us in a position to move forward to where God would have us to go. Being thrown in the pit, that was putting him in position. Being sold into slavery, somehow it was putting him in position. Somehow being sold in Egypt and all that went on there in the prison and all of those things were just a part, bad though they might have seemed, terrible though it might have appeared, all of those things that he was going through, God was allowing it because God had something special that was going to result from that. No matter what it is that we're going through, we don't need to be anxious about what's going on in Washington. Because somehow we need to know that somehow God is going to make something beautiful happen out of it all. It may be, as somebody said, that and that the folks who hadn't prayed in a long time, when they found out what was going on the 20th and how things were going, a whole lot of folks found themselves down on their knees. Well, that's good news. Somehow it just caused folks to start praying, if nothing else happened. A lot of people now are looking at the things that are going on and realizing that somehow we need to be reaching out to each other more with love. We need to be a closer nation. It was a time when everybody seemed to just be there for everybody. That's who the U.S. was. That's being American. We're reaching out and welcoming folks in and looking out for our neighbors. That's who we're supposed to be. Well, now it seems that maybe we're getting back to that. Somehow we're realizing we can't depend on Washington necessarily to help that to happen. But that's all right. We can still reach out to each other in love. We can go out and feed the hungry. We can go out and do things for the poor. We can do all kinds of things. But somehow we put ourselves in a position now to know we need to step up and do the things that God would have done. We need to step up and realize that somehow, no matter what happens in Washington, no matter what happens over at the White House or over at the Capitol, we still need to be in touch with the Lord and do His will. So maybe now, what has come out of this is we've come to realize that we need to step up and be closer to the Lord. We need to step up and reach out to each other more. We need to step up and not allow our nation to become a nation that's divided. One nation under God that can't be divided, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're talking about that's who we are. That's who we should be. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to reach out. Somebody needs your help. Somebody needs your words of love. Somebody needs you. I feel that this situation, this anxiety about the rhetoric and all the things, we don't know what he's going to do. We're talking about the rhetoric. He's saying he's going to do this. And he's saying he's going to go there. Many of the things that are being said that could be put in place might be. But we need to defend ourselves from it by putting ourselves in a position where God can use us. God wants to use us. Be anxious for nothing. If you're going through something, if you're anxious about what's happening in the White House, if you're worried about those things, stop. Recognize God is totally in control. And that all things, all the good things, somehow we see that. That's showing us who God is. The bad things as well, the things that he allows to happen, those things make us stronger. Paul says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things. God wants us to be a stronger church. I think churches have overall, it just becomes sort of lackadaisical. Things are going to happen. Things are okay. Everything's okay. And now we need to step up and make sure that the part of making everything okay that we should be doing, that we do. We need to step up and be what God would have us to be. And maybe just the things that are going on, those things that we're anxious about, we can't change all of those things. But we need to realize that those things are perhaps driving us, encouraging us to do more of God's will. We don't know what Washington's going to do, but we're not going to let those people die of hunger if they're somebody. We don't know what Washington's going to do, but we want to be there for somebody who needs a touch, needs a hand. We need to step up and be that household, that church that can be there to stand up for the people that need a touch. And maybe that's the good news. The good news is we realize that we need to take the responsibility for making sure that everybody's all right. Those people who are part of our lives, those people who we know, help to make sure things are all right with them. Those people who are falling, be there to help them to get up. Those people who are going through a difficult time, be there to let them know that God's not going to allow it to be more than they're able to bear, all those tests that they're going through. We need to not be anxious ourselves, and to help others who are anxious to realize that if it doesn't happen from the government, if it doesn't happen from Washington, you still got some folks that are going to stand by you and stand with you. Be anxious for nothing. God wants you to know that he has a plan for you that can't be disrupted. There may be some problems as you go along the way, but God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Everything, all things, all the things that you go through, all the problems that you face, all the praise that you have to in your heart for all things work together to help you to become what God would have you to be, to help us as a church to become what God would have us to be, to help us as a church to realize that somehow we need to depend on God. And if you depend on God, you don't need to be anxious. Depend on God to bring us through what we're going through, and ask God to help us to be strong enough to fulfill the purposes that he has for us. You know, the church can just sit on the side of the road. It can be a beautiful church. It can be streamed, and people can hear the messages and hear the singing. But a church needs to be more than the place that sings. It needs to be more than a place where you just come together once a week and listen to the word and listen to the music. A church needs to be a part of the community that reaches out to help that community, listen to me now, to not be anxious for anything, because God is still in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge. We as a congregation, we as a household of faith, need to realize that we need to just do God's will, showing love to everybody who we touch, reaching out to those who don't realize how good God is and let them know how he's touched our lives. We as a church can by letting people know who God is to us and making them realize that that same God that we serve is no respect to person, but loves them as well. The things that we can do by touching the community, going down from this place, out of this place, into this neighborhood, into the city, to let people know, don't be anxious for anything. Let's just put it in God's hand. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for every one of us. We need to reach out and let somebody know that no matter what might be happening, no matter what we might be going through, all things, something positive is going to come out of all things. Whatever the situation might be, all things work together to make us become more of what God would have us to be. The problems we have, when he solves them, we become stronger in the Lord and trust him more. The illnesses that we have, when God brings us through it, somehow we're stronger. And we can tell somebody about how good he's been and testify even to ourselves that the more I see him, the more I see his work in me, and the more I see the work he does around us, the more I realize how good he is. Recognizing his power, think about this, recognizing his love for each one of us, we should be anxious for nothing. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, all situations, all problems, all blessings, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God has a plan for your life. God has something for you to do. And perhaps the things that are happening that you've been anxious about in Washington will cause you to step up and start talking to the Lord more, asking him more about what it is he would have for you to do. Somehow the things that have gone wrong, if you will, or the things that haven't gone the way that you wanted them to go, perhaps it's just bringing you closer to the Lord. And if that's all that happens, then whatever it is that made you anxious, whatever changes appear to be happening, if that brought you closer to the Lord, if that brought you closer and made you decide you want to talk with him more, if that brought you closer and made you know that you need to get him more involved in your life, if that made you realize that somehow you got a lot of people you know, but you need a relationship with the God of the universe, somehow those things that seem to be going wrong, those things that seem to be making you anxious, because they draw you closer to the Lord, we can say that those things lifted you to a different level. All things work together. All things work together to make you more of what God would have you to be and to help you to accomplish his will in your life. Anxious? This message is all about this past week because somehow, as I said, we went from focusing on the dream with Dr. King to focusing on the inauguration, where we were worried about not what's necessarily happening, but even just the negative rhetoric. It just seems like there are things that we would rather not happen. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about it. Know that God's will is going to be done. The dream, it's still alive. To kill Dr. King, but his dream's still alive. What? We need to be a part of realizing how real the dream is. America's dream is a dream. It's a dream for people who want to come here. It's a dream for many who live here. It's many who have been here all their lives, but somehow it seems like if that dream were going away, there's reason for anxiety. Don't worry. The dream is still real. It wasn't just a dream. It's a prophecy that America will become something special and beautiful. Don't be anxious. Don't let one term in Congress or in the presidency make you feel that things are not going to ever be what they ought to be again. We're not on the downward slope. We're just sailing for a little while we wait for God to lift us to the level that he wants us to be. Be anxious for nothing. Everything. All things. All good things. They're for you. All good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Don't be anxious for anything. God has something special for each of us, each one of us. You can say with pride, the God of the universe, the God of the universe knows who I am, and he has something special for me. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, Father, we've come through a week when many have become very anxious about where our nation is heading. And somehow, Father, it seems that since we know that all the things that you would have done are going to get done, and though we may go through a period of anxiety, Father, let us know we don't need to be anxious. We can be anxious for nothing because we know that you, the God of the universe, are in control. And we know, Father, that everything that happens is for our good. The problems that we face, the sicknesses that we've had, the situations we found ourselves in, all of it has made us stronger as you brought us through things. Somebody said if I hadn't had a problem, I wouldn't know that you could solve it. But somehow you have solved our problems. You have brought us through situations. And because of those situations, because of those problems, we can say everything, all things, good things and bad things, all of us make us stronger and have brought us closer to you. Father, the more we go through and the more you bring us through, the stronger we become and the better our relationship with you becomes. We thank you, Father, for loving us enough to allow us to go through things knowing we can hold on to your hand. Go through situations knowing that you're going to bring us out and everything's going to be all right because you love us so much. Father, continue to remind us that we should be anxious for nothing, because you are going to be with us. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, it's only going to make us stronger. It's only going to make us closer to you. How much better could a situation be than to put us closer to and find ourselves wrapped up in the arms of the God of the universe? So thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the suffering that he went through. Father, he knew that when he was carrying that cross, that the pain was there, but he was going through that. While he was hung on the cross, he was going through the pain, but he was looking beyond that because he knew, Father, that all of that was just something that was getting him to where he had to be. He had to be on the cross to die for me, and he was willing to do all of that because he knew that everything was going to be all right after the cross. He knew that we were going to be all right after the cross. He knew that his death was going to give me an opportunity for eternal life. So as bad as all of that may have seemed during those days, as bad as it may have appeared, somehow he had joy in his heart because he knew that what he was doing and what he was going through, he didn't have to be anxious about it because what was going to be accomplished, your will was going to be done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that no matter what we're going through, no matter what the problem might appear to be, we're going to grow stronger because somehow we're going to know you're with us. And we're going to know that somehow you're going to bring us through our situations. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for an opportunity to come together on this day just to praise your name and to thank you for who you are. Help us, Father, to put our trust in you, recognizing your love. So we'll be anxious for nothing, knowing that you're taking us somewhere. Maybe through dark valleys, but you're taking us somewhere. Maybe over rough mountains and through situations that seem terrible, but you're taking us somewhere. Father, thank you for leading us. Thank you for holding on to us. And thank you for reminding us that no matter what might appear to be going on around us, we should be anxious for nothing. Everything, good things, bad things, draw us closer to you. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, in the loving name of Jesus, the powerful, adorable name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that problem that I had last month. Thank you, problem, Father, for that problem that I saw Deacon Cruz going through with the medical thing, that you brought, the way you keep bringing him through and bringing him out. Thank you, Father, for all the things that have concerned us, that somehow you've let us know we don't need to be concerned and we need to be anxious of nothing. The more you bring us through, the stronger we become. The more you bring us through, the more we realize how real our God is and how real your love for us is. Father, let us not be concerned about what's going on in Washington. Let us step up and do what you would have us to do. And let us recognize that you're with us and all those things are just helping us to become more of what you would have us to be. Please stand. Please stand. Perhaps there's somebody who realizes God has some things for them and they haven't been able to accomplish them just yet, but God has some things for them to do. Somebody's growing stronger just from situations they've gone through recently. Somebody's had some problems that God has solved just recently. And because of that, they're looking and realizing that this God that we're talking about loves us so much that somehow they should make a commitment to do his will. Somebody here is saying, I should step up and say to the Lord, I love you, Lord, and I want to be a part of the household of faith. I want to serve you, Lord. Is there somebody who wants to say yes? Somebody who wants to give themselves over to Jesus? He died for you. He went through those days of pain, those hours of tremendous suffering, so that you'd have the opportunity I'm telling you about right now to allow his death, his pain, his suffering to pay for your sins and your iniquity. Just accept him, and his blood can wash you clean. The sins that you may have found yourself deep in, somehow he's pulled you out of that. The hell that you were on your way to, he's put you on another road to glory. All you need to do is just say yes. All you need to do is accept him. All you need to do is say, I want the world to know I've decided to make Jesus Christ my choice. He loves you. He went through some things for you. He paid a price for you. All you need to do is give yourself over. Find yourself rewarded by his love. Is there somebody who wants to say yes? Or maybe you've already said yes to the Lord. Maybe you've already recognized how good he is and you've said yes, but you were at some other church, you were at some other place. You made some commitments, things you were going to do. You're going to use the gifts and the talents that God has given you to accomplish what God would have you to accomplish. But you're not there. And somehow you didn't fulfill all those promises while you were there, but you know what? Those gifts and those talents that God has given to you, you could use them here in this place. You could help us to become more of what God would have us to be here at First Mount Island. You can help us to grow stronger in the Lord. You can use what God has blessed you with to be a blessing, not just to this household of faith, but perhaps to the community around us. If you'd like to fulfill the promises you made to the Lord, or if you'd like to accept him for the first time, why don't you come on? He loves you so much. Be anxious for nothing. Recognize you don't need to be anxious because of the love he has for you. Is there someone who wants to come? My Lord. My Lord. God bless you.